Welcome to the Martin Bailey Photography Podcast. It's June 6, 2016, and this is episode 526. Today, I'm joined by Brent Mail to talk about the business of photography and a great new personalized photography course that he's about to start, and I'm sure that some of you will be interested in that. Brent is an Australia-based photographer who hails originally from South Africa. He shares his story with us in this interview, so I won't spoil it by sharing any more details right now. Instead, let's jump in and listen to my conversation with Brent Mail. Today I'm joined by Brent Mail to talk about the business of photography and a great new personalized photography course that I'm sure that at least some of you will be interested in. So welcome to the show, Brent.
Thanks, Martin. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. It's nice to talk again. We spoke a few days ago for your show, for two of your shows, actually. You're very prolific in the podcasting world now. I hope people don't get sick of hearing us talking together, but I think we've got enough cool stuff to talk about that won't happen.
We do. Yeah, definitely.
So tell us a little bit about yourself. You know, initially, like where you're from and how you got into photography, stuff like that.
Sure, Martin. So I grew up in South Africa, and in my 20s, I left and traveled a little bit and ended up back there. But I guess when it comes to photography, I kind of started when I lived in the US. So I married an American girl, my wife, current wife right now, yeah. And wife number one. I haven't got wife number two yet, but you know, you never know. No, I'm just joking. we ended up settling in Colorado, and I always wanted to take images of landscapes that I saw some of the great Colorado photographers taking. And you know, you walk into these galleries and you see these massive, huge, beautiful vistas, and I wanted to do that. So I got my first film camera when I lived in the States, and I went out and tried a number of times, and I was really disappointed. You know, I'd send the film in and wait a week and get it back and look at all my dull images and go, oh my goodness, what happened? And by then, I was just too lazy to write down the settings that I was using, so I couldn't actually remember how, you know, what I shot things with, so I didn't know how to fix it. And then digital cameras came out, and I couldn't quite afford the first one, the digital SLR, so I went in like a timeshare, half with a friend who an ex-professional photographer. Yeah. And I was working with him at the time. So he would have it on one weekend and I'd have it on the next weekend.
Oh, brilliant.
And it was when my son was born. So it's basically, he's 14 now. So it's 14 years ago when I got that camera. And suddenly things clicked because I could see what I was doing and I got the immediate feedback from the back of the screen, and I could see the settings I shot things at. And then suddenly I understood photography, where before I didn't understand what I was doing wrong. Here I could actually experiment and get immediate feedback, and I just fell in love with it again.
Yeah, wow.
And then 14 years ago was when I decided I was going to be a professional photographer. And at the time I was doing engineering type work, and I was involved in a couple of startup things online, and I decided that's what I want to do because my mother's an artist. She's painted her whole life.
Yeah.
And she painted a lot of wildlife when we grew up, a lot of birds, sold images. You know, I went to a lot of art exhibitions when I was growing up. I had art everywhere in my house. Mm. And so I guess the artist in me, the creative person, needed to come out. I was doing engineering stuff. I was really good at the technical stuff, but I was missing the creative drive, the creative energy. I needed to get, you know, an outlet for my creative, I guess, desire. Mm. And photography was the perfect medium for that because it involves creativity and the technical side of it.
Yeah, that's something that's always been a big attraction for me too. How did you sort of then transition into the, you know, the professional photography and building your business?
Yeah, so I tried a little bit when we lived in the States. I tried to make money out of sports photography at the time. Mm. I went to a couple of big sporting events. I managed to get press credentials to get in, like some of the snowboarding, the US snowboarding finals in Colorado at the time. And then I'd send it out to newspapers and try and get paid for my images. And I never quite could actually make any money. I was probably losing a lot in that area. And then we moved to Australia. So we moved here 12 years ago. And when we arrived, I started my photography business. I set it up, I registered it, and I tried to get some photography work initially, you know, just getting established in Australia. So we didn't know anyone in the area that we got established in. So we had no connections. And I tried to initially work for the newspapers. I thought, okay, if I'm going to support a family, how do I do it as a photographer? I thought, this is a perfect time. I've moved to a new country. I'm going to be a photographer. And I went to a lot of newspapers, and I gave them my portfolio at the time, a lot of, you know, action shots and those type of things, a few portraits,
yeah,
a lot of landscapes. And no one called me back. And I tried for about 3 months. And I eventually hooked up with a photographer who photographed the surfing events, the big surfing ones. So there's one, the Quicksilver Pro at Snapper Rocks is part of the surfing tour up in Queensland. And then there's another one that happens down at in Victoria in Australia, Bell's Beach. People that are into surfing would know all about these events. And I went and photographed the first one at Snapper Rocks for him. And I said, look, I'd work for free at the time. I just wanted to do it. And I got paid, you know, a small amount. And I managed to photograph as a professional. I was photographing these surfers. I'd come in, we'd upload the images, do a quick edit, send them to all the newspapers around the world and magazines and those type of things. And then from there, I got a job in Newcastle, which is reasonably close to where I live now, for an event called Surf Fest. And I ended up down here because of that. So photography actually led me to this area. And then the work kind of died out. I tried to work for the newspaper over here, but I didn't have enough experience and no one would give me a chance. And I set up my portrait and wedding business at the same time. And I had to actually go back to working engineering because I couldn't make it. I couldn't make enough money just doing photography at the time. So I worked for engineering type work for a number of years, probably 2 or 3 years, while I was actually setting up my photography business on the side. So I'd shoot weddings on the weekend. I'd try and shoot a few portraits, and I basically would photograph anything if someone was going to pay me. I was the photographer for the gun for hire, you know,
at
the time. And it ended up that I got sick because of overwork. I was traveling to the mines at the time. I'd travel quite a long distance, work a massive day, 12 hours or longer, and then travel home. And I was shooting real estate photography at the time. I was publishing a book of my landscapes, a A5 hardcover book at the time too. And I was shooting portraits and weddings.
Wow.
And I was working, you know, pretty much full-time work. So I was probably working 80 hours a week in total with the photography and the engineering work. And my body just couldn't handle it, couldn't handle the stress. And I got sick. And I realized then that I can't do it all. I'm not bulletproof.
Yeah.
There's no way I can keep going the way I'm going. And actually enjoy life and live. So I gave up the high-paying job, the engineering job, because I wanted to follow my passion. I thought, you know, life's too short to not do what you love, and just do what you get paid for. You might as well figure out how to do what you love and get paid well. So it ended up that we were in debt because of the book that I was producing too. I was sick, so I hadn't worked for 3 weeks. I actually looked at the numbers, my income and expenses and all that good stuff, and actually realized that I was going backwards. So the harder I worked, the more real estate photography I did, the the more money I'd lose. Wow. Because of the game I was playing. I was playing, it was a franchise at the time, and it was set up that I couldn't actually win. But I didn't realize that. I was just too keen to do anything that would make me money in photography. I wasn't smart about it. And I actually quit that. Mm. And it wasn't easy because I'd signed all sorts of agreements and stuff. Mm-hmm. But I managed to get out of it. And from then on, I told myself, look, I'm going to play the game on my rules. And I'm also going to figure out what the quickest way is to actually making a full-time living out of photography. So I did what smart people do, and I copied what other people were doing that was working.
Yeah,
I went to all these conferences and seminars, and I would come back, and I'd tell my wife, Stacey, every time I'd come back from Sydney, which is, you know, a reasonable drive, 2.5 hours each way for me. Mm. I drive down, go to a seminar, someone who's actually making money in wedding photography business or the portrait photography business would basically give away all their secrets.
Mm.
You know, the pricing, how they attracted clients, how they converted clients, how they actually sold to clients, what they did that was unique that no one else did. Mm. And I'd come back from these seminars and I'd change everything in my business, you know, and my wife Stacey would say, okay, what are we changing now? I said, well, we're tripling our prices or we've got too many packages. We only need 3 packages or, our wedding prices are way too cheap. We need to offer this and take this away and, you know, and it happened pretty fast because I would take action every time I learned something new that was working for someone else and I tested in my business. Some stuff worked really well. Some stuff didn't work in my market because my market's different from the city photography studios. And over probably about a year and a half, maybe 2 years, I managed to mold my business to be a really efficient, predictable, revenue-generating machine.
Mm.
And that's basically how I got, how I went from, you know, being broke, I guess, and burnt out and, you know, not healthy to basically living the dream that I dreamt up when I first moved to Australia, that I actually wanted to work full-time for myself and do what I love, you know, photograph people, photograph landscapes, models, whatever, weddings. And, you know, and I tweaked my business every year. I'd change things and change things and change things until the business was actually supporting my lifestyle and not the other way around. I got to a point in my business where I was supporting the machine that I'd created and I had no one else to blame for that. I couldn't quit, you know, like who do you send your resignation letter to when you want to actually quit the business that you've created?
Right.
So I changed my business and I changed it to a business that actually supported my lifestyle and not the other way around, which is what I love to teach other photographers. I actually want photographers to not make the same mistakes I made. Figure out what it is that they actually want and then build that, not just build something that someone else is doing that they think might work for them and then realize five years down the line that it's actually not what they wanted.
Mm. Well, obviously you spent a lot of time and invested a fair amount of money, I imagine, as well in the courses that you took, the workshops. And then because, you know, listening to your explanation there, because of how you were able to quickly implement the changes, test this and test that, and then, you know, take the best parts of it, over a relatively short time in business terms, it sounds as though you really tuned your business to be something that you, like you say, you wanted it to be. But then, I mean, you sold that business, the portrait part of the business, was it?
Yes, so I sold my studio last year. Oh, it's close to a year, 11 months ago.
Yeah.
I built it up to a point where I had achieved my goals. I'd actually achieved my goal 3 years before I sold it.
Mm.
And I optimized the business as much as I could. And it was supporting my lifestyle, but I was just kind of cruising the last 3 years, really.
Yeah. Wow.
And I at that stage, I needed a new challenge, and I wanted to actually teach other people. I wanted to help other photographers.
Yeah.
And that's when I started doing my online courses and my online training videos. And eventually, before I sold my photography business, I released my first business of photography course. It's called Portrait Photography for Profit, which sold really well too, and I helped a lot of people get going. And then recently I've created another course for photographers who want to just get going, like the beginner type of people, the photographers who are great at photography and now they want to start making money in their photography, or they've been going for maybe a year or two and they're kind of stuck, they're not progressing. Yeah. I wanted to help those type of people, because my Portrait Photography for Profit course, which I created 2 years ago or so, is very detailed. It's basically everything I did in my studio and everything that I did to optimize my studio too. You know, how I actually went from working 5 or 6 days a week to working 2.5 days a week and still making the same amount of profit. Wow. But that's often too much for a newbie, someone who's just starting out. All that information is too much. So with this new course that we're probably going to talk about, I simplified that even more. I basically took the 10 years of running my business and I simplified it down to just the stuff that actually works, just the things that a new photographer needs to do to get going. So basically, the way I explain it to people is, if I had to move to a new town where I knew no one and start up a new business, these are the things that I would do to get going, you know, in the quickest possible way with the minimum amount of effort.
So this is the PP8, your Photo Profit 8-week course that you're talking about now then?
Exactly.
Yeah. So just for the sake of the listeners, we'll give you a link later. But you know, we'll go into now and talk more about the details, but I think that what Brent has put together here is really valuable to anyone that's in the position that he's just mentioned. You know, you're just getting started, because people find it difficult to do a lot of this stuff. And so, I mean, let's talk about that a little bit more now, Brent. You've put together this amazing course. I'd even like to take it, but it's like, it's the, you know, you, what you just touched on with people not feeling so confident. Do you feel that confidence is one of the biggest things that photographers lack as they start to build a business?
Definitely. And that's something that I've heard a lot when we were testing out this course. I only a few months ago did the pre-launch for this course. So I did an internal launch to the people that are following me in my other community, the Sick Lounge. We've got a community for photographers learning how to take better photos. Mm. And I got quite a few of them into this course, people that actually wanted to start making money in their photography. And I'll just take a couple of steps back, because there were two or three of my members in this community that actually, this was the reason why I created this course, because they were asking me for help, you know, how to make that first $5,000. How do you get going? How do you make this first $100 in your photography? Yeah. And I was answering a lot of questions. I thought, you know, maybe it's time I created a simplified course on how to just get going. Yeah. And let's get to the confidence thing.
Yeah.
So once I released this course, and it goes over 8 weeks, so there's 8 lessons.
Yeah.
It actually goes over more than 8 weeks, because I give people extra time to get things done. Like, so for instance, building your website, I give them 2 weeks to get that done instead of just 1 week.
Yeah.
So when it comes to confidence, I got a lot of my students were asking me about confidence and how do they get it. And I heard this quite a few times. So I realized it was something that obviously was lacking. People lacking confidence, which is basically fear.
Yeah.
It's fear of rejection or fear of failure. And everyone's got that. So my take on that is to feel the fear, because it's nature's way of warning you that you're about to die. Basically, you're going to get out of your comfort zone. You're going to do something that you're not quite sure whether it will work, or someone might reject me, or someone might say no, or this thing might fail, but that's not going to kill you. Right. So feel the fear, because nature's way of warning you that you're out of your comfort zone.
Yeah.
But then think about what's on the other side of the fear.
Mm.
You know, if you break through this fear, or like Gail says, walk through it. That's Gail is one of my students.
Yeah.
You know, I say smash through it, and she says walk through it. That's fine. It's just different ways of picturing it, because she wants to do it gently and I want to smash through that fear.
Yeah.
You know, what's on the other side? Is it something bad, or is it something good on the other side? So if you do the thing that's making you scared and giving you lack of confidence, what's on the other side? And normally, most of the time, what's on the other side is something really good.
Mm.
It helps your business. So you actually just got to do it. Get through it, and then basically reward yourself when you made it through. So so feel the fear, and then think about what's on the other side of the fear.
Mm.
Walk through the fear, and then reward yourself when you've actually achieved that thing.
Mm.
And that's my way of actually getting confidence. You've got to do that. You actually got to do the thing, overcome the fear, and then the confidence starts coming to you. And another way of thinking of that is, you know, fake it before you make it, or fake it until you become it.
Mm.
So, like, what I would do often when I was starting my photography business, like if I was shooting a wedding and I'd never shot a wedding before, like my first paid wedding was the first wedding I ever did. So I would ask myself this question. If I was a professional photographer and I was really confident at shooting weddings, how would I act and how would I behave and how would I feel? And then I'd fake it like I was that person. I'd imagine I'm that person when I'm actually shooting the wedding, even though I'm scared and I'm really, you know, fearful that I'm going to fail and I'm going to screw up and I'm going to lose all the images and the people are going to say bad things to me and, you know, I'll totally fail at this wedding, which I didn't.
Mm.
But I faked it. I imagined that I was that confident professional photographer who never makes mistakes. And you actually become it after a while. But it is scary, and I know how people feel because I've been there. And you just got to do it.
Yeah.
And then you become it. You become that confident person. And, you know, even today when actually a friend of mine asked me to take his portrait yesterday.
Yeah.
And because I sold my business a year ago, I haven't been doing any professional portrait photography. And this was just for friends, so I wasn't even paid. So I set up my studio lights, which I hadn't done in a long time. And I was actually a bit nervous because I thought, oh, man, I haven't done this in a while. I could actually screw this up quite badly, you know. I probably will. But then I thought, you know what, I've done this many times before. He's not even paying me, so it's okay if I screw it up. But I'm going to do it until I get it right. And I did it, and, you know, initially I had the wrong shutter speed and whatever. But I figured it out pretty quickly. You know, I had a look at the images. Yeah, for sis, have I got one where his eyes open? He's got the right smile. You know, did I make him relax enough to get a good photo for his LinkedIn profile, whatever it is? And I did it. So, look, if anyone's listening to this and you are you're lacking confidence and you are fearful, that's okay. All of us feel like that. I feel like that most times. I go do something that's out of my comfort zone.
Mm.
And but you just got to do it.
Yeah.
And that's the only way to get through it.
Yeah. You know, I think the thing is you touched on a lot of things there that I can relate to, in that, you know, sometimes you have to do things to build the confidence to actually do it. And I think that when you took that first wedding for, you know, you're going to get paid for it, and you went through some of the things there that could have gone wrong, but I'm sure because you're confident enough in your skills as a photographer, you knew that you could pull it off. I don't think you would have taken it if you actually expected to screw it up. So there's certainly a certain amount of, obviously I understand the fear there, and I understand that it, you know, exactly what you're saying. But I think also deep down that there was a confident Brent that says, you know, I'm a good enough photographer that, and I also know that you're very analytic. You probably went on site and on the web and searched out what the standard photos are that you need to take as a wedding photographer and how you need to do this. And I'm sure you researched the hell out of it. Partly maybe, and just, you know, correct me if I'm wrong here, but partly through the fear of failure. But
yes.
I think that the fear of failure is one of the things that drives successful people. And so that all sort of was rushing through my mind as you spoke there. I'm sure that's exactly what you did.
It is. And I actually had my cheat sheet with me of all the different photos, you know, the repertoire that I actually need to capture because I knew I'd forget. So I knew I'd need, you know, the bride with the father and the bride with the mother and the, you know, the groom with the bride and groom with the both sides of the parent, you know, parents. So I had all these, my cheat sheet, and I just mark things off as I photographed them.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, I can sort of really imagine you doing all of that. And so, so that's really one of the reasons I'm sure why you have been successful. So, you know, I mean, faking it until you make it, all of that. I think there are times when it's dangerous, but I think as long as you've got the confidence and the, you know, the drive that you have, and this is in anyone that's listening to this, if you can go through and make sure you do all of that research, it's definitely a way to build the confidence to continue on and
definitely
be successful.
Is. Yeah. And what I do too is I always learn from things. So let's just say you have a failure and you screw up on a photo shoot or something like that. It's okay. As long as you learn from it, it's not a failure.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Every time something happened in my business or on a photo shoot or whatever that didn't go according to how I wanted it to go, I learned from it and I changed my procedure. So I would, so for instance, that first wedding, you know, I had my cheat sheet. I never went to a wedding afterwards without a cheat sheet. Because that helped me. It took away that fear that I was going to forget to get a type of shot, you know, and I'd just go through my cheat sheet. And then it became easier and easier. So I created a system for everything in my business, whether it comes to photographing portraits or weddings or, you know, running a sales presentation. I had cheat sheets for everything because that takes the fear away that you're going to screw up.
Oh, yeah. And you can't screw up a wedding. If you screw up a wedding, you might as well just, I don't know, jump off a cliff or something, because it's the biggest it's the biggest day in someone's life. But, you know, you sound very much like myself as well. I mean, if you looked in my Evernote, you'd find lists of everything. It's like I have a packing list for all of the trips that I do. Like to not forget to take this when I go to Namibia, or not to forget that when I go to Hokkaido, or, you know, that. And I actually create checkbox lists in Evernote, and then I'll just make a copy of that or reset them at the beginning. And I go through, and as I put things in my bag, I literally check off each of the items. And so being methodical and all of that, I think it's all part of it. I've got a terrible memory as well. I couldn't do something like a wedding without a cheat sheet, so I can fully relate to that.
And, you know, this, I read a book, let me think of who it is. I've actually got it down here somewhere. I think it's called The E-Myth Revisited. Can't remember the author. It'll probably pop in my head soon. But it's about running a business, and it's all about systems.
Yeah.
You know, and I didn't realize this when I started my business. We had nothing organized. We had stuff everywhere. I didn't have a customer relationship management system. I had no systems. And every time I did a shoot, it was like I did it for the first time.
Yeah.
And I'd, you know, be racking my brain. Did I forget something? Did I forget a certain pose? Did I get all the images that I needed to get? Did I forget to shoot some video so that I could sell them moving portraits, you know, memory stick with a slideshow and some video in it? And that really stressed me out. And it took a lot of energy thinking about all that stuff, you know, trying to remember all that. And I read that book, the E-Myth.
Yeah.
Great book, by the way. Every business owner should read it.
I listened to that on a flight once. It's by Michael E. Gerber.
That's right, Michael Gerber. Yeah.
I didn't recall that from memory. I've just looked it up in my Audible book library. Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah.
And yeah, so it's a great book, and he gives you many examples of how things should work. So I started creating these manuals, and you know, a lot of people call them standard operating procedures. So basically, just a whole bunch of checklists of what to do and how to do something. So if you're ever going to do something twice in your business, or in your photography, create a procedure for it, a SOP, a standard operating procedure. Mm. And even my employees, they know me now, or they used to in my old business, was I would get them to fill out check sheets for everything because it just stops you or your employees making mistakes.
Yeah.
So for instance, a sales presentation where someone comes back in and they want to order their prints from their photo session. This is where the money goes into the bank. Everything you've done up to that point, leads to this is the most important part of the whole process, the whole customer process, where they come to you and they do all these things with you, and then eventually they buy the images. Mm. I even had a standard operating procedure for that, a checklist for that. And I would get the person, because I actually taught one of my employees, or quite a few actually of my employees, to do this task, because I didn't want to do them anymore.
Mm.
And we could actually create a predictable outcome if they actually ran through a procedure. Yeah. Of, you know, the client's coming, have a walk around the studio. Does it look clean? Does it smell good? Have you got the candles burning? Do you have the chocolates ready for your customer? Mm-hmm. You know, smile when they walk in the door. You know, that's a little checkbox.
Yeah.
You know, do you look presentable? Yeah. You know, does the studio look high end? And, all the lights on all the images on the walls, just little things that you can forget. So I just got them to, you know, just go through this thing, check it off, go through this thing, check it off. And we could have predictable outcomes if they followed the procedure. And if you think of a business, all it is it's a bunch of procedures.
Yeah.
And if you do them right, you get a predictable outcome. And there's no difference with photography.
Mm. Wow. Yeah, that's great. A great way of putting that and thinking about it. And you just said again something that I said just in last week's podcast. I was talking about exporting images from Lightroom. And one of the things that I said, exactly as you just did yourself, if you're going to do anything more than once, create a preset. My Lightroom workflow is based on presets. They're all my own presets that I've created as I've done each task. Mm-hmm. But pretty much everything can be automated. And you also reminded me, in my business, my wife looks after, I enter all of our expenses into Excel, but she's the person that makes sure that they're all nice and neatly attached to a bit of paper to take over to the accountant. And, and I also just, I'll print out all of the company's credit card bills and things and I give it to her, and then she'll write down on it which one everyone is. And she was coming to me every month saying, "What's this? What's this?" I said, "Well, I told you last month." She says, "Yeah, well, I don't remember." I said, "So why don't you just make a list of all of the things that come in every month, and then you don't have to ask me each time." And and she did that, and now she only has to come and ask me about the things that are irregular, the one-off payment. And so, yeah, I mean, it all makes the business work so much smoother.
It does, and you should get onto Xero, Martin.
What's that?
It's an online bookkeeping and accounting software, and it hooks straight into your bank account. So once you actually enter something, so let's just say you've gone onto the coffee shop and got a coffee, but you were meeting someone, and it's a business expense, you know.
Mm.
It'll recognize if you've attached that to a, eating out business expense, it will recognize the next time that coffee shop credit card statement comes through, it will automatically assign it to that same category.
Oh, wow.
So you can actually give your wife she can have a little break because the software can actually take care of that now.
You know, I'll definitely check it out, but the Japanese accounting laws are very different to most Western ones. So I don't think it'll replace my tax accountant.
Okay. Well, it still goes to the tax accountant.
I see.
But these are just the transactions are all already categorized into the right categories and all that stuff. And you know, I've also got to credit my wife Stacy. She kind of organized me. She helped create all the initial standard operating procedures because I'm just so disorganized with things. I've got, you know, paperwork all over the place. We'd have these little drawers where things would, you know, paperwork for the customer would go into and it would go through a certain system. It would come out of one drawer and go into another drawer, you know, once they've placed their order and now it's in production and it's gone to the lab to get printed, it goes into another drawer. When it comes back from the lab, it goes into another drawer. Mm. When we called the customer to come pick up the order, it goes into another drawer. So she was really good at setting up our initial systems.
Yeah, that's brilliant. Okay, so let's talk a little bit more about your course.
Sure.
So, you know, I know that you've really thought through a lot of the things about like making people accountable for their actions, you know, to actually get them through. You also had some interesting statistics about how many people actually get to the end of a course. So let's talk about that a little bit.
Totally. And that's what a lot of people aren't talking about when it comes to the online courses. Mm. And I think it's similar to a book. You know, you might get a how-to book, something that you want to learn. So let's just say you get a thick book that's how to run a portrait photography business, right? And you want to learn this and you start reading it and you're really excited and you're getting all this great information and you get about a third of the way through and then something happens that, you know, you need to take your kids to school or something. Mm. And then you might come back and you might read a few more and then something else happens. And eventually, even though you've had great intentions of finishing this book this online course, you only finish a third or half or three quarters of it. And you don't actually get all the benefits that course has to offer. So, for instance, I recently had a look at my stats on some of my courses, some of the bigger courses, you know, my Portrait Photography for Profit course, which has like 60 videos in it, 60 lessons. Mm. It's massive. and I only have a small fraction of people are getting to the bonus videos at the end, which are some of my best work. I mean, a lot of people, if they're really running a business, if they just watch one or two of those bonus lessons, they could probably double their profit.
Wow.
Just by watching a little 5-minute video on what I did to basically, you know, work half the time and have the same amount of profit. So they could apply that. But it got me thinking, why are people not finishing these courses?
Mm.
And I think, well, there's a couple of reasons. I think, firstly, people get distracted and they have great intentions of finishing, but they just, life happens.
Yeah.
And but I think the more important one is there's no one holding them accountable. So it's only themselves. They've bought this course and they should finish it.
Mm.
But if they don't finish it, no one's saying, hey, man, you said you'd finish that. How are you doing with it?
Yeah.
You know? And recently, I'll tell you this little story, Martin. I did this race, this adventure race, and I'm not a fit athlete. I do surf a lot and I love to, you know, walk and get outdoors and stuff, but I'm not a runner or anything. And I borrowed this sea kayak. It's close to 6-meter long kayak from a friend.
Wow.
And it was an adventure race. So there's someone swimming, and this is out in the ocean. Mm. Then there's a runner who runs like 30 kilometers through the forests and the bush around here. Then there's a mountain biker who mountain bikes 30 odd or 40 kilometers. I can't remember what it was. Mm. And then finally, there's the kayaker, which is me. and I've got to kayak 16 kilometers, which at my fastest rate took me 2 hours. So 2 hours in a kayak in this lake system out in the, you know, wilderness, basically, kayaking from one place to another into the wind, which just kind of sucked for me. But, you know, there were points when I was, and I, I tried to train. I probably trained. I mean, I think I kayaked maybe 5 times before this race happened, because I only borrowed the kayak like 2 months before it. And I was quite busy at the time. And, you know, I needed to get the kayak to the ocean to actually use it. And I was in this race, and there were a few times, maybe at an hour or maybe an hour and 20 minutes or whatever, that I was ready to give up. I was exhausted. I was bored. I was hungry. And I couldn't give up. Why? Because I had a team that was depending on me.
Yeah.
And also I had told my team members that I was going to finish.
Yeah.
They'd all done their bit. So they'd ridden on their mountain bike for 2 hours and fallen off a few times and came in all grazed and full of mud and stuff. And, you know, one of the guys swam in heavy seas, and one of them ran for quite a long time, over an hour and a half or whatever. And I couldn't let them down. So there's this massive like peer pressure to not let your team down, because firstly, you said you would do it, and they're holding you accountable.
Yeah.
And I thought, that's a great analogy to explain how this 8-week course works, my Photo Prophet 8-week course, because I'm holding the people in there accountable. So everyone starts at a certain time.
Yeah.
We have a bunch of students sign up, and I only take a small amount because I give everyone personal attention.
Mm.
And then each week there's a lesson. So I give them a lesson, and it varies between like 15 minutes and maybe 35 minutes, depending on what the lesson is. So I try and simplify everything down. And then I give them one or two tasks to do for the next week. And I hold them accountable. So I will check with everyone the next week. Hey, you know that thing you said you were going to do?
Yeah.
Can you show me it? So for instance, the first week, or actually week zero, before you even start, I get everyone to put in their goals, what they actually want to achieve, where they are right now and what they want to achieve. And then at the end of the course, I might look back and say, hey, those goals that you put in week zero, how are you progressing with those? And what have you done to get there? And how can I help you, or how can I encourage you to get there? Or is there a sticking point somewhere that you just can't get through? So maybe it's the marketing and the networking that I suggest people do. You know, is that stopping you? What's stopping you, and how can we get you through that sticking point so that you can actually finish this course and actually get the result that you wanted, because you've invested quite a lot of money in this course because you want to get your photography business up and running. And I'm there to hold them accountable. So that's the big reason why I've done it over 8 weeks too. And also it chunks it down. So it's like small amounts of learning. So maybe you only need an hour a week to actually consume the content, and maybe an hour or two a week to actually do the action step for that week. So once you take action for 8 weeks every week, guess what? You start getting results.
Yeah.
But for someone to consume that all in one go, probably be a little bit difficult.
Yeah.
You know, if they had to consume 8 or 10 hours of videos and then do 20 hours of action steps in one go, it's quite hard. And I think that's the problem with a lot of the online courses. Now, this translates really well, Martin, into your tours and your workshops that you run. It's the same principle, right?
Yeah.
You've got a group of people, and everyone's there holding each other accountable and helping each other and encouraging each other to do it. And it's over a number of days.
Yeah.
So you get to learn, you get to ask questions, and the new information takes a little while to sink in.
Yeah. And, you know, that's one of the things on my tours, we always spend, most of the places we spend at least 2 days in each location, so that the person can get used to what they're shooting on the first day, take a look at the results, and then fix any problems that they've had the next day.
Exactly.
And they, like you say, it's a lot of the time with my workshops, they're normally 12 days long, some a little bit longer. But once you're there, the only option to not be there is to leave partway through. And so far, out of the hundreds of people that have been on my tours and workshops, no one's ever done that. We've had one lady leave because of injury, but that was, you know, that was an injury. She literally couldn't stay on the on the trip. But I totally relate to that, and I think that for you, of course, with your PP8 course, you've set it up in such a way, obviously it's personalized, so you're working with each individual person on their goals, and
yes,
you know, you guide the actions, but you actually get the goals from each person. So that's really a lot different to most video courses, where it's just, okay, this is it, and you listen to it. And I think there's still a place for that, but but businesses are so personalized anyway, that I think when it gets to the sort of thing that you're teaching here, it's a great model to be building.
And you know, Martin, I wanted to test this out. Like, I've read about this model, and I've done workshops too, and I've helped people in that way too. And I wanted to give it a test. So that's why we had the initial pre-launch, where we had our first dozen or so students in there testing it out, and it works. The great thing about it is it actually works. And I actually did an interview with Gail Lowen. She's from Canada, so she's one of the initial students. And it's just amazing. I spoke to her last week, and it's going to be one of my Photo Profit podcasts coming out in the next couple of weeks, or maybe by the time this one comes out, it'll be out. She made $6,000 in the first quarter of this year, and she made more in the first quarter of this year than she did the whole of last year in her photography business. So she's been running a business for a couple of years, and she had a few things in place. So it wasn't just from this course that she made that money. There were a couple of things that she already had in place. But to make more in the first quarter, basically in the dead of winter in Canada too, when you don't normally make anything, there's no family portraits or anything because it's so cold, to make more in the coldest time of your year, or the deadest time, you know, when it comes to the business of photography, than you did in the whole of the year before, is amazing. It just shows that it actually works. And a lot of it was confidence. She just needed the confidence to do things. But here's the thing. A lot of it was accountability too, and also knowing what things to do and what to focus on. So that's what I teach, you know, what to focus on. And also asking a lot of questions like, Brent, I've got these two situations coming up. I've only got so much energy and so much time. Which one should I take? And then I'll ask a lot of questions like, okay, you know, why do you want to do this one? Why do you want to do that? And find out what's right for them. So she took this opportunity which came up, which she said that if she, you know, because she had to answer to me, if she had to tell me that this opportunity came up and she didn't take it, you know, she felt, oh, what's Brent going to say, you know? So she took it.
Yeah.
And it changed her business.
Wow. So, you know, it sounds as though that obviously this is a lot of work for you as well. You've got a lot of communication that you're doing. So yes. Are you limiting the number of people that can take your course?
I am, for that exact reason.
Yeah.
So for the launch of the Photo Profit 8-week course, I'm going to take a maximum of 50 students.
Oh, okay.
Because I think that's the most that I can handle.
Yeah. That's still a good
especially
number.
Especially when people are creating their websites and they're asking me for feedback on their websites. You know, if I had 1,000 people, there's no way I could give everyone feedback.
Not quality feedback.
On their website.
Right, right.
As they're building it, you know.
Yeah.
And a lot of people needed help too. So I'd give them my web designer. I'd give them his email address, and he would actually help them get their site up and running, and, you know, things like that. So, but Martin, I really love helping photographers achieve their dreams. And that's kind of how things have changed for me. So we all got like a purpose or a vision for ourselves and our business. And initially when I was running my studio, my vision was to, you know, capture the beauty that surrounds me and share it with the world, or share it with my customers, or capture their beauty, like when it comes to a family and their happiness, and actually share it with them. But it's changed. It's gone from me, from something that I want to do. It's gone to, I want to actually help other people achieve their dreams.
Yeah.
And it gives me so much joy when I actually speak to someone like Gail, who's starting to achieve her dreams, that I actually had some influence over and helping her get there. And then there's also Mark from Paris. It's another one of my podcasts where I actually met him when I was traveling after I sold my business, and we took the family overseas to Europe for 6 weeks. And I met Mark. He was on my email list at the time, and he was also one of the people that took me up on this Photo Prophet 8-week course when I was testing it out. And he's doubled his photography business over that period of time, not financially, but in the number of shoots and the number of things that are happening in his business. So things are starting to happen for him, and I'm pretty confident that he's going to triple his business financially very soon too.
Wow.
But things do take time. You know, once you initiate all these action steps, sometimes it does take another 8 weeks before you actually start seeing the results coming through, you know. But you're setting up your business right from the foundations. You build it, like, let's just say your business is a house. You're building solid foundations in every area of your business so that you will succeed. And it's just great. So love that. Love helping other people achieve their dreams.
Yeah, that's amazing. So, you know, I obviously, people are going to want to be able to check this out. You're putting your page together. I think it's pretty much finished now by the looks of it. I'll put a link to your page. It's at brentmailphoto.com. And then it's /PP8, the number 8-application. But I'll put a link in the show notes for this. And the show notes are going to be at mbp.ac/526.
Wow.
But I do hope that that some of you, the audience this is, want to jump on board. Like I say, I'd love to take the course with Brent as well. Is it time you're going to run it in parallel? So you'll start all 50 people at a certain time?
Yes. And,
yeah. So
yep.
When's so that going to be?
15th of July it starts.
Okay.
And we're going to launch the course on the 1st of July. So right now, if you're listening to this before it launches, so it'll launch for a week. We'll open the shopping cart for a week. What happens is the page we'll send you to is an application page. So you can't actually buy the course just yet. You've got to fill out an application form. And the reason I'm doing that is I'm looking for the right kind of people for this course. So I don't want people that aren't going to take action. Because if you're not going to take action, you're not going to get results. And then there's no way I can help you. So I'm looking for people who are actually committed and really want to get their photography business going. Because I've only got a limited amount of people, I want to make sure I get the right people in this course. Because everyone actually in the course encourages each other to do things. And often I can explain something, you know, as best I can. But the students interacting with each other often is even better, you know, for getting a message across. Or let's just say we have two people in France that are working on something. They can actually talk about their unique situation in their economy that maybe I don't know about. So like having a group of people together that are all committed to finishing this course and actually want to get their businesses up and running and are really driven, that helps everyone in the course. So so if you go to this page and you that right person, then make sure you fill it out and apply to get in. And then if you qualify, I will send you to the checkout page when it opens on the 1st of July.
Okay, great stuff.
When it launches.
Great stuff. So obviously, the people are going to want to know how much the course costs. What are you? How are you pricing it? Well, how much are you pricing it?
Yes, totally. So the course, it's not cheap. I'll give you that, but it's a great value. So normally, this course is $1,970. So $1,970, but I'm discounting it for the launch. So I'm discounting it by 30%. So it comes in at $1,379.
Is that US?
Yes, US. Yeah,
okay.
Yep. But if you actually take what's in there and all the bonuses, I've got a bunch of bonuses in there. I've got quite a few of my other training courses in there. I've also, what people get is they get a 3 months additional time for me to coach them once the course is actually finished. Because I want them to achieve results.
Yeah.
It actually works out to quite a huge savings, like more than 50%. But yeah, that's the price. I'll have it on the page, and it's totally worth it. I mean, look at Gail. She's made 6,000.
Yeah.
So you should make this back very soon.
Yeah, and it's an investment. I mean, like we said earlier, you've invested a lot in attending various workshops to not only to learn but then to tune the information that you've got, and it's. You're carrying all of that information with you to this day. It's not just about, you know, one quarter in a business. It's something that will stay with people. So it sounds
And it's you know, it's basically taking 10 years of me running a successful, you know, six figure in profit business every year for 10 years, distilling it down to just the things that I would do if I was starting from scratch again. And then also giving it to you in a way that's going to actually get you results. You know, this course, I created it to get people results. I didn't create it to overwhelm people with all this massive amount of information and tell them how smart I am or, you know, brag about things. It's all about getting them results. And, you know, if you look at what business courses cost, you know, if you look at an MBA or any kind of business course in your area, I mean, they vary, like, hugely. They vary from, like, $20,000 to $80,000 a year just here in Australia. So this is a very small fraction of the cost, and it's specific to getting you results. It's not about overwhelming you with information. It's about the end result.
Yeah. Well, that's amazing. And like I say, if anyone wants to check that out and see if, you know, fill out the application and see if Brent thinks that you're worthy to and actually that's a bit tongue in cheek because it is important that you get the right people for the course. So that's it sounds great. So like I say, I'll put links to this in the blog post at mbp.ac/526. We've been talking almost an hour now, Brent. And you sent me a couple of photos.
Yes.
Do you have time to talk about them quickly?
Oh, totally. Yeah? For sure, Martin. Definitely.
Okay. So, first of all, then, you know, we'll close with a bit of a conversation about your beautiful work. Tell us a little bit about. You've sent me one of the Milky Way with a stunning pool in the foreground. Tell us a little bit about this image.
Definitely, and the story behind this image is my community, the SIC Lounge, the Share Inspire Create Lounge, where we've got a bunch of photographers who we help them with their photography. We all put our goals in there initially. So what do we want to achieve out of the community or out of our photography? And I put a goal, one of my goals was to shoot the Milky Way, shoot some stars. And one of the photographers who's actually in my area, who's in the community, called me up one day or sent me a message, a private message in the community. And he said he's going to go photograph the Milky Way down the road from where I live, where I used to live, where my studio was before I sold it, and whether I'd want to go. And it was midwinter, cold, or not as cold as other places, but cold enough for me. You know, middle of the night. And because I had put my goal in the community and I needed to be held accountable. So I said, yes, I'd go. So that's what the image is about. you know, I probably wouldn't have. I would have, you know, sat at home and had a glass of red wine and, you know, chilled out. But I went because he was holding me accountable for something I'd done. And that's, it relates back to the Photo Profit course too. If you put your goals in there, you're more likely to do them. So to I photographed this. It's actually a blend of three images, I believe. I was shooting for the Milky Way, obviously at, I think, 30 seconds exposures. Can't remember what the ISO was. It was pretty high on my Canon 5D Mark III, I believe, with my 17 to 40 mil lens. I'm just trying to remember. And then I'd light paint the area. So I took a flashlight, a torch, and I'd walk around during that 30-second exposure and actually paint the rocks to get that pool there. So there was one image where the pool was really well lit up, but then the Milky Way wasn't, because I might have, you know, some of the light bled off the rocks into the camera. Yeah. And then there was some where the Milky Way was beautiful, so I blended them to get that shot. And it's, you know, one of the kind of the only shots I've got of the Milky Way. And it was really good to actually hang with Shane, who I went with. And he actually taught me a lot of things, because he loves to do this kind of photography. And I think that's the benefit of being in a community or with other like-minded people, is you can learn so much from other people.
Oh, yeah.
Even when you're teaching photography, and I've got hundreds of YouTube videos and I've been teaching for quite a few years, there's still something that you can learn from someone else, and be open to learning from other people all the time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, a beautiful shot. I'm going to move on relatively quickly. So can you tell us a little bit about the shot of the boys with the football?
Definitely. So that's something that I believe in, you know, it's one of my core beliefs, is giving back. So once you start making money in your photography business, you've got the option to actually give back. And this is a bunch of boys in Vanuatu. I went there after Cyclone Pam devastated the islands. And I went with a church group. And one of the pastor from the church said, "Brent, you know, come along with us, come and help out. You know, we can get you all this exposure in the newspaper and everything if you come out." And I said, "Look, I don't want exposure. I mean, I want to just go because I can help."
Yeah.
That's the reason I went. So this is just a snapshot I took. You can see all the debris in the background from the cyclone that destroyed all their homes. You know, and they're still happy. These kids are happy, even though they've had a very traumatic time, and they've got nothing. You know, and when you think of us Western countries, Westerners, you know, a lot of people are depressed and unhappy, and they've got a lot of stuff.
Yeah,
you know, a lot of resources, and these guys don't even have running water. They don't have electricity. They've barely got anything, and they lost their homes and they lost their crops. So they were living on rice for the month before we got there, because they had to replant all their crops, because that's what they actually live off. They got nothing, yet they're happy. And it's it's something that us Westerners have to learn, is to actually, you know, I've spoken about this quite a lot, even in my Photo Prophet 8-week course. The last episode, I teach a little bit about what makes me happy, and hopefully I can make the students happy too. If you're feeling down or depressed, all you have to do is go to a third world country and help out. And it'll totally change how you feel.
Oh, for sure, for sure.
Because you can help. And I've actually got a video, I'll give you a link, Martin, that I created on this island. It's one of the little islands, Mau Island, in the Vanuatu chain of islands, of the devastation, you know, and how giving and helping can make a huge difference in people's lives, even if only you're giving a little bit, you know, just a couple of t-shirts, or, you know, we were over there rebuilding some of the homes, and we took all this roofing iron and treated timber to help build the homes, even though I'm not a builder, but I was on top of roofs with a screwdriver and stuff, you know, a drill, like putting things in, and we made a huge difference. Just a few people going over there, and I think it's something. It's a trip I'll never forget. It had a massive impact on me, and I would highly advise, if anyone can ever go on a trip where it's purely to help another people. Or other people's, do it, because what you get back is amazing.
Wow. Amazing story.
Yeah.
And a beautiful photo as well.
Thank you.
So the last one, this is the one with the fire twirling around there. This is on Fiji again, did you say?
This is Fiji, yeah. So the last one was Vanuatu. This one's Fiji. And it's a bit weird, because you can see the guy's belly and then you can see his leg, which is like separate to his belly.
Yeah, yeah.
And you see all this fire twirling. So it's just a handheld long exposure at night of a fire dancer. And what I love about this image is, you know, we didn't know it was actually going to happen, that they were going to come and dance at this resort. I was there during a photo workshop.
Yeah.
F-Stop Lounge organized a photography workshop, and we had all these amazing photographers, and we were filming it. So there's going to be a course coming out one day from this workshop. But I love just experimenting. So handheld, I was sitting on the floor trying to keep really still with my camera. And I think I had my 24-105 f4 lens. I had the image stabilizer on, and I think I was shooting maybe 5 seconds or something like that. And just with the ambient light, so the light that comes from the fire, really. And obviously you shoot a lot of images until you get a good one. This is one of the good ones, so love it.
It's just
really weird looking.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously the lights lit his stomach up at one point, and then he's moved, and then it's the lights lit his feet up, and it's great. It's like a mishmash of one person, but the patterns in the fire and everything are stunning. So another excellent shot. Well, thanks for sharing those images with us as well, Brent. And thanks for your time today. It's I hope that the audience find this useful. I'm sure you will. But thanks very much. And hopefully we'll stay in touch and see how we can continue to maybe even collaborate on something as well.
Yeah, no worries, Martin. And thank you so much for having me on your show.
Not at all. Thank you.
Awesome.
I really enjoyed that conversation, and I hope you do too. So, Brent can be found at brentmailphotography.com, and that's M-A-I-L, brentmailphotography.com. Also, check out the photoprofit.net website. It currently redirects to a section of Brent's main website, but that's a great resource as well. And he's got a podcast there, and one of the reasons that we got talking was because he recorded an interview with me for that recently. And he's also got another great podcast called Share, Inspire, Create. And that's at shareinspirecreate.com. And that's what he was referring to when he was talking about his Sikh community. So Share, Inspire, Create. So do check those out as well. And you'll find a conversation with Brent and I in there as well if you check that out. So, thanks very much for listening today. If you enjoy these podcasts, please share a link with your friends. And if you don't already, please subscribe in iTunes or your favorite podcast program to ensure uninterrupted delivery. You can find me on Google+, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, etc. And links to everything that I'm up to are at martinbaileyphotography.com. So do drop by and take a look. I'll be back next week with another episode, but in the meantime, you take care and have a great week, whatever you're doing. Bye-bye.